Hey, Black Bloods. Welcome back to the Outpost After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are breaking down episode 10, The Drag Man Is Coming. It's finale night here on the Outpost. Things get tense, things get steamy, and we have some incredible special guests tonight, so you don't want to go anywhere.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Tonight, guys, welcome back to the Outpost After Show. As always, I am Veronica Valencia, and joined with me on the panel today, we have...
Hey, everyone, I'm Mina Wahab.
And I'm Teron. If you don't know by now, I don't know where you've been.
I don't know where you've been. And, of course, we've got some amazing special guests today. She is a Black Blood. He is an intelligent brewer. We have, of course, Talon, Miss Jessica Green, and Genzo, Mr. Anand Desai Barachia.
You got it, yes!
I got it! Yes!
I don't even know how to say it, so...
Try it.
You know what's interesting?
I've worked with him for 6 months.
Try it, try it.
Anand Desai Barachia?
Sure.
We got it.
Desai... What's your name? Jessica Broccoli? What is it?
Mate.
Yeah, sure.
It's very simple.
Green. Well, it depends on where you're from. It's very simple. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people in Japan that wouldn't...
Because if you're from England, it could be Gran. And then if you're from Australia, it could be... I'm just going to stop.
Coming up later in the show, we are going to, of course, talk all about the season one finale. We also went on, took to Twitter and asked you, the fans, what your favorite moments were from the season. We will be reading those out loud. And we also have some questions that we'll be asking our guests. But until then, everyone, season one finale, what, Mina, Teron, what did you think?
I love that we finally know who the drag man is. This was my favorite episode.
We've been asking every week.
We really have.
No, we haven't. I think my favorite thing is the fact that we found out this week that it's not Dragman, it's Drugman. That's very interesting, and which we'll definitely get to in the interview. And also, I think the most important thing that we need to take from Outpost Season 1 is the fact that all men with man buns are evil. And I feel that that was demonstrated the most by the ambassador. If you have a man bun, you're actually just an evil
person. So you don't
trust
men with man buns?
I personally do not, no. And I don't think any woman in L.A. does either.
Let's turn to our guest, Jessica, on man buns. Do you trust them?
Never trust a man bun.
I thought they were kind of cool, no? Like in Silver Lake area, they're like, oh yeah, I got a man bun. And you're like, oh, it
Silver
must be
Lake,
cool.
Full of evil people. That's what I'm saying. Evil people. Have you ever been to the Trader Joe's there? Evil.
No.
That's what it is.
But isn't that near where... No, I haven't.
He can't say that he has. So Jessica and Anand, what was it like, first of all, filming this episode, but then to also see the season conclude and the fan base that has come from this show?
It was exciting.
It's crazy to think that, like, we started, in January, and now we've already just aired the last episode of this season. So it's a bit crazy to think that. But your question was, what was it like to film it?
Yeah.
It was a lot, because it, like, there was so much in this episode to get in, and there was so much that we still haven't discovered yet of the show. It was busy. It was very busy.
It was fun, though.
It was very fun.
It was fun.
It looked like you had fun.
Yeah.
Well, you guys look like you're having fun even just amongst yourselves. Did a good camaraderie come out of this? Because when we see these kind of epic-type films or shows, whether it's Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, we see this friendship that comes out of it. Some people even get tattoos that match.
Yeah. I don't really like him, though.
Absolutely can't stand him.
I actually introduced
her to Indian food, you remember? I had Indian food tonight, and my hands stink because I eat with my hands. But I taught her how to eat with her hands for Indian food.
You scoop it and you're like, you push it forward.
Yeah. So now she teaches other people how to eat with Indian food. But my hands really stink of Indian food.
They still do?
Yeah.
Well, he just had it.
Not from Utah.
He hasn't washed them since. He never washes them. That was a problem we had on set. It was always stinky hands.
How long were you on location in Utah?
4 months.
4 months straight.
Yep. And went to the Indian restaurant every night. Oh, yeah. You were there. Yeah,
I was there from like 1st of Jan. For a long time. Yeah.
And I was there from like Jan 10th.
Is that just because, Jessica, you had to do more combat training type thing?
I only got like a week of training beforehand. No, I think they just liked me better than him, so...
She just had to, like, work a
we
bit harder.
We gotta get this guy out as soon as possible.
We filmed all the travel sequences for the first 2 weeks before any of the others rocked up, so, yeah.
And fun. Did your combat training extend throughout the season? Because I've noticed that your progression in both combat and acting just got better and better along with the script getting better.
No, I literally had a week of training before the season, before we started filming. And then after that, I literally on set, I would learn the first, count of eight and film it, then learn the second count of eight, film it.
Yeah, there's no way I could do that. I literally filmed it right before
I filmed it. So that was fun.
So you became a better fighter along the way. You're just a natural fighter.
Well, I do MMA back home, but it's very different compared to, using weapons and when you punch someone, you're actually like...
Stay away from me. What are you doing?
You're literally like...
Can you tell acting training too?
On screen, you're literally like punching like here.
Sure.
Like, you have to like swing, I don't know,
any accidental...
do things...
Jabs?
Not from me.
Not physically. Verbally.
Dredd, he whacked me a couple of times. This one got smacked.
Oh yeah, I didn't whack
himself.
You.
No, by himself heaps of times.
Janzo's a clumsy guy. I was just very method.
Strong.
That's what happened?
Strong. Mm-hmm. Method acting.
Literally anything you could smack your head on, he
All right,
did it.
Stop.
Well, the fight sequences got better along the season. And as a person who was very critical of how the show began, I'm also a big advocate of how it progressed. And it became much of a fan favorite towards the end. Did you see that fan favoritism in the form of Instagram or social media? And what has the reaction been so far?
Yeah, it's been great. It definitely has grown. It did. The first episode, I guess, was hard because we had to try and get so much information and create so many, like, introduce so many characters, in such a short amount of time that it kind of,
Watching, so I, as far as, like, say with AfterBuzz and you guys, I remember, and we were just talking about this earlier on, I love that you guys were critical in the first couple of episodes. I really enjoy that because then that gave me a viewpoint of these guys are going to be genuinely honest with whatever we see from you guys, And then you start to get nicer and nicer, and I was like, wait, are they just being nice, or is the show getting better, But I...
If you know anything about me, I didn't just get nice.
I appreciated the honesty. I appreciated the honesty, because then I was like, I have like a reference point, an unbiased reference point, which was you folks.
That's great to hear.
Janzo was a very popular character on the show. Possibly, for me, the most enjoyable aspect of the show because of how you portrayed it, but also the character that was portrayed.
Yeah, it was written well.
What was your inspiration for portraying this character? Do you have, like, a clumsy brother? Do you have...
No, and actually, someone was just live-tweeting and saying something about... And I can't remember the username, but they were asking, why does, because in this episode, I'm assuming you guys have watched it if you're watching this, they say, why does the disabled guy never get the girl?
Mm-hmm.
But my response to that is, I'm not intentionally making him disabled. And I think it's really quite important for me to... What are you looking at me like that
distinguish
for?
Distinguish that. Plus, we also don't know what happens in season two.
I'm being deadly serious. Like, because the last thing I want to do is to appear like I'm trying to portray someone disabled when I haven't researched a particular or specific disability.
Sure.
Because that could go, that could be awful. And I don't want to do that. So in response to the guy asking why... Can the disabled guy never get... That's how he's seeing the character.
He's projecting it.
Yeah.
That's not how I'm...
Socially
I'm not trying
awkward.
To...
You're awkward.
Of course I'm socially
awkward.
The awkward
guy doesn't get the girl, guys. That only happens in Superbad. In real life...
It's like, what we hope for.
Right.
It's what some of the fans were hoping for.
Right.
Nina.
We were. Nina was about that life.
His awkwardness and insecurity all came from his upbringing. He's been on his own his entire life. He was raised by the mistress and he worked in a pub. no one spoke to him until Talon came into the pub that first episode, you know? And then his confidence started to grow. But for me, I didn't see him as a disabled character.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't think none of us did either.
Yeah,
I believe that we always saw Janzo as just a quirky
brewer.
Yeah, we always just saw him as like a fun, quirky brewer who, like you said, doesn't socialize much because he's so isolated in the outpost.
Absolutely.
So that's how we always viewed him. So that was something new to us as well.
How similar to your character were you, Jessica?
I was going to say that too, yeah.
I apologize.
Can we swear on this show?
We cannot.
Good.
This is definitely a kosher show.
Cool.
I don't know. What do you think? There's very small bits, I think, of Talon in me. But I'm not as angry as her in any way. Do you think
she definitely has that like badass energy about you as well, though, don't you?
Can be a bit staunch sometimes.
What do you mean by staunch? What do you mean by staunch?
That's her humble way of saying she's a badass.
No, she is.
Yeah. She is.
Yeah. So you definitely have the badass side to you.
Independent? Because Talon was very independent, especially
like
going into the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you are.
I'm just not as mean.
But here's the thing as well, right? When you're saying that, like with Jan, like all of our scenes together, I think there was like a bond then. So Talon was friendly with Janzo, you know? And so I do think that that's also quite you as well. Like the friendly relationship that you had with Janzo, I think, like we have it as well in real life, you know? But with other people, well, no, you don't go around stabbing people, do you?
No.
Well, not yet. She is very new to Hollywood.
It's true.
That comes later.
Well, speaking about relationships, let's kind of just go into that because that is something that the fans have really been enjoying this season, is seeing the chemistry and the tension between Talon, this kind of love square with Janzo, Talon, Gwyn, and Garrett. And in tonight's episode, we kind of get to see the steamy side of Garrett and Gwyn's relationship.
Oh. And?
Yeah.
And Alice, she gave me a kiss, man.
Well, that's
on the lips.
I was getting to that.
Sorry.
After
and then you got friend zoned.
Yeah.
No.
Before.
What's worse is it was brother zoned. And that's a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was getting that. It's like we see the steamy side of their relationship. Talon gets a little bit jealous. And then we see this nice little kiss between, you know.
Bounce chicka wow.
Yeah, between Janzo and Talon. And then, Jessica, you friend-zoned the poor guy.
Brother-zoned.
Brother-zoned.
Significantly worse, as Teron put it. Significantly worse.
In context of the show, let's be very clear about the context of friend-zone, brother-zone, and this show.
I also just want to point out that Anon had me freaking out this entire... Because he's like, I'm dying. And Jess, too. She's like, he dies. And I'm just like, I was fully expecting it. And then when it ended,
that's
I was like...
That's because you've never been a guy. He did die. Once you get that brother-zone stat...
I was like, great.
There was a point where I paused it. And his heart was just breaking into a million... I don't even know if that was acting. That came from a real place.
I was like, wait, I guess... I was like, what's worse, a stab or this brother-zone thing? I was like, all right.
Well, in both of your opinion, was there a specific, because the fans obviously have really been enjoying the development of these relationships. In your opinion, was there a relationship that you were personally very interested in seeing grow or possibly continue on or make happen?
Yeah, Tanzo. Hashtag Tanzo.
Get it going, everyone.
Tanzo. Hashtag Tanzo. That's going to be trending.
It already is.
Tanzo or Tarot.
I love it.
What do you think was the defining moment for both of your character arcs?
I loved. Actually, you go first. I'll let you go.
No, you go. It's alright. This one's on you.
My defining.
Look.
It was. Oh wait! Do you know I absolutely loved episode 6 where we see him. Where I'm reading the book in the Smith's house, and like I managed to get her to come on the journey with me, because that's when I was really like, I've got her. Like, even if, like, probably in my ignorance, it was like, yeah, I've got her with me. Like, she's my girl. It wasn't that at all. It was like a friend thing. But I just had that bond that I've never had with anyone else before. Mm-hmm. And that gave me confidence in my own strength to be like, I can do whatever I want because I've got her by my side, you know? And I think that was a big moment for me as well.
That was a really good answer.
Pressure's on.
Oh, no.
Pick a scene.
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. I guess, I don't know what episode it is. I can't really remember. Mm. But when she finally wipes out all the bones, she kind of feels like, I guess, that she's accomplished what she set out to get. And then
it's not the first step.
No.
The tattoo people.
Yeah, there's more of them than one.
Yeah.
The bones, yes. Not the bones.
You felt like you peaked in the first episode. I'm
it was all downhill from there.
That happens a lot on dates, too. You start this can't get better than this. And it happens.
Exactly.
But let's talk more about the relationship between Janzo and Talon. Mm-hmm. We see that it becomes a brotherly relationship, at least on Talon's behalf. However, there were moments where it was alluded, especially in the behest of possibly making Garrett's character jealous, that there was more.
Yeah.
The spooning scene.
Mm. By the bonfire.
Yeah, that was fun.
The spooning scene.
That was fun. That was actually really, it was really quite cold. So
it's very cold. What was your question, though?
My question is, how did that play out? How did that play as in, did you also, as your character, think that maybe the writers would write in more?
I don't know. I would like to see some of that because I love the relationship that these, you know, I mean, we have and the characters on the show, you know. I think it's really fun and, like, I think it would be awesome that the underdog, you know, wins. And
I agree.
The underdog gets the girl.
Yeah.
I think, but do you know, I also see, like, in a lot of comments daily from folks, like, a lot of the fans also want that to happen as well. And I think that's maybe because a lot of the fans of this genre can probably relate to a lonely guy.
There's instead a lot of Janzos watching the show.
Instead of the hero on the horse, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I do see that a lot in my comments feed that they do relate to Janzo, and so they want him to win and get this.
Mm-hmm. You said something behind the scenes that you were auditioning for the role of Garrett. Was that a joke or was that so you originally auditioned for the role of Garrett?
I never even ended up. It was my original call was for Garrett.
Okay.
And I mean, I've said it a few times now, but yeah, it was for Garrett. And then as I was reading the pilot the day before, I was reading all these amazing lines from this other character. And then I was like, I want to go for that guy instead. And casting agreed, and they let me, and they were like, are you sure you don't want to go in for Garrett? You know, he's the lead guy. And I was like, yeah, I think as Anand, could do a better job as Janzo instead of Garrett. Like what Jake does, I couldn't bring that to Garrett.
I would have loved to seen him sword fight.
Yeah, imagine me on a horse. Like, it's just not going to, like, I know that I can do a better job as Janzo instead of Garrett.
What is it about Janzo that really appeals to you? Like, what do you relate to? What do you admire about your character the most?
If you don't know, Mina has a crush on Janzo. So we're only off the topic of the relationship, which was the initial conversation. We're only on Janzo. It's gonna be followed up on Janzo like with no shirt on. It's going to continue.
A couple of episodes ago when Jake was on, we actually did kind of this little thing where we all looked at each other and said, what character do we think we would both be like? And Mina just felt like she related to Janzo the most.
I get that. Janzo, the question is, what did I relate to Janzo? And do you know what? Maybe even it wasn't maybe meant to be written like this, but the way I read it, I read him to have a very British personality, in the sense that it was his writing, his words were very dry, very blunt. He was quite, you know, this like quick-witted attitude that a lot of Brits have. And that's why when I was reading it, I was like, wait, I really appreciate this more, because I knew that I could not only relate to it because I'm British more, but I just enjoyed that sort of vocabulary, that dictionary more of that kind of, that sort of person. I feel like I just couldn't do Garrett the justice that Jake could do.
I think you could have played a great Garrett, but I do think you were a greater Janzo.
Thank you. I really enjoyed
you
playing.
A lot of
I really
to
enjoyed
that
playing. And I think that's also, we got given a lot of free rein from our creators as well and showrunners, that they let us run with it, you know? They let us, you know, ad-lib at times and really just improvise and just allow us to create these characters and let them build and build and build. If we didn't have that from behind scenes, what are you laughing at?
Just the whole time.
He's building.
The whole time. You haven't put your hands.
It's part of the rap persona, which we set up and you're not aware of.
I'm done. Go.
By the way, this is her not being mean. I'd like to point that out. She's not being mean.
No.
But it's very nice that they gave you that breathe room. And I appreciate when showrunners and writers allow the characters to develop within. With Talon, how much breathing room did you receive? And was that something that you looked forward to as an actor?
Yeah, I loved it. I think it definitely helps, hey, getting to have a little bit more say and a little bit more freedom. We got along really well with, like, the showrunners and the directors and the creator, like, everyone. And everyone, you know, kind of put their thoughts in. We all worked together to, like, create what we wanted. I
think also
that.
As we see, like, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of yourself as well. Like, when we see some of, like, say some of the more seasoned actors, say, like, Robin and Andrew, who are, like, who play...
they're amazing.
Gwyn, who play Mistress and Withers.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how they interact, and we see how they're... You know, we're... as younger actors, I'm not young, but as younger actors from those, we take note from that. And so we'll see that, oh, they are playing around with it, you know? They are doing things differently. It's not... doesn't have to, and so then we're also learning on set from that as well, you know.
I definitely felt like I grew throughout the season from, you know, watching them and learning from them, because, you know, the scenes you have with them, every single take would be different, and they would Andrew Howard actually scared the crap out of me, because we were doing, I think it was episode 3, and he did this scene where he's telling me to leave the outpost. And he, you know, did it quite calmly and everything the first time around. And then the second one, he, like, stomped his foot and clapped it and screamed at me. And it shocked me so much that I, like, almost forgot my lines and everything, because, yeah. Mm-hmm. But just so different, like, just... And it was amazing to see them play, and I definitely learned so much from watching them. And, yeah, it was sick.
That's great. Right. Let's get to the episode, because I do want to have some stuff about the final.
I was going to say, and this will actually relate to the episode, because we were talking about character-defining moments, and I want to circle back to that a little bit, especially with Janzo in this final episode as well as Talon. But before we get to that, we do have a special announcement for our fans.
Well, I'd like all the AfterBuzzers to know our network produces aftershows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. That's us, and we need your help to continue to grow. We appreciate each and every one of you, and if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments below. We love hearing from you, and we will thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
And, of course, you can always catch us on YouTube, but on the chance that you can't, you can always catch us on iTunes as well. Go there, download, rate, review, and subscribe. Leave us 5 stars, because 1 through 4 doesn't work anyway. So definitely leave a review, because we appreciate it. Jessica and Anand appreciate it. I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to these guys day in and day out? So YouTube and iTunes.
That was a sincere thumbs up. I like that. That was strong.
So let's dive back into a little bit of these character development. So I don't know about you, Mina or Tehran. I feel like one of the defining moments for both of your characters was in one of the episodes where Janzo saves Talon from, like, the weird wolf thing.
Yep.
And then Talon,
I was like, wow.
I felt it was, like, kind of maybe around the middle of the season when she started to really trust Gwyn and Garrett and felt like she can trust having friends, because she's been alone her whole life and can't trust anybody. And we see that, I feel like, play a little bit in this last episode, because that moment of bravery early in the season allowed Janzo to stand up to the mistress and try and get rid of all the Calypso. And that moment of feeling like she can trust friends for Talon, mm-hmm. she was able to listen to Gwyn and not just take out Dredd like she would have wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about any of you, but
I don't know about like a single defining moment, but for Talon specifically, what I thought was so interesting about your character arc was that you kind of started off having this wall and not really trusting people, especially men. Mm-hmm. And gradually over the course of, you know, a few episodes, you slowly start letting people in. Yeah. And I think it's through that vulnerability that allows your character to be actually stronger. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people think being vulnerable or like being open or like opening yourself up to love makes you weak, but in
Who
a lot
hurt
of ways.
You, Mina?
We're not circling back to this again. We are not. Let's keep going.
But no, I genuinely think that in that vulnerability, you found a different type of strength. Not necessarily the physical strength, but a certain mental strength, if you will. And I love Jonzo's character arc as well. I feel like you became so much more confident. You know, you always had the intellect and the brains, but you
made up.
Weren't necessarily sure of yourself.
Or you can be very clumsy at times as well.
Yeah.
So can you, though, apparently, that we've learned.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I think what you were stressing on, I think you're absolutely right. It's from the Bone Wolf. And then also, there was the Bone Wolf, and then the time where he poured acid. Because after those two times, he really felt a sense of a place. As well, you know. I'm not sure if it's obvious, but after those two times, Janzo's hair changed as well. And it instead of it being like
this... You got
like
his cool
this,
hair on.
I got some cool
hair.
So instead of it being like this, it was more like swept to the side. And it was almost a thing of like, I'm cool enough to wear this now. And it was a very subtle thing, but it was something that we decided on. And it was after the Bone Wolf. And because she was like, you saved my life. And I was like, yeah, I guess I did. And then when I did the acid as well, like, they're all fighting there. And I did the acid. And Janzo saved them again. And I think those two moments that you were saying did make him much more confident.
A couple more episodes, you would have had a man bun. Because...
Mate.
Coming in the season finale, you made a comment where it's last episode and into this one where I saved you. Garrett didn't do anything. Yeah. I saved you. And True. You utilized that. How did that change of tone affect you and your character portrayal?
I think throughout the whole season, Garrett and Janzo have had this bickering going on, you know, because he's everything that Janzo... is not or will ever be. He's always the, you know, the muscles and the looks and the uniform and all of that stuff. I think as it gets throughout the season, Janzo doesn't want Garrett to be dead. When he gets taken in the water in episode 9, he doesn't want him to die when she starts kissing him. I'm like, oh great. Like he's happy that he's alive, you know? And so I think throughout the progression of the season, he does care for Garrett. And so I think his tone and his words do change towards him. He'll always have this jealousy towards Garrett, but I don't think it's not
malicious.
It's not malicious. Yeah. At all. I don't think so.
I do also want to point out some other really standout moments from the season finale. Shout out to Imogen Waterhouse for her big queen moment. Her "I am your queen" line, basically taking. No mercy, putting Dredd in his place. That was a pretty great scene. Could we all agree that she owned that
she
moment?
And I love her new look.
Yeah.
She just rocked up with her
little
hot.
New cut and her new outfit. It was pretty great. Mm-hmm. And then Naya, Taran, who I believe you know.
Medallion.
Yes, the actress who portrays her. Her character was kind of interesting because Mina and I talked last week of how she... was this insider to the Prime Order, and we kind of see her working that again this season, where it's like she's helping Dredd escape, and she's
but there's
sticking...
also a reason, so it's not unjustified. It's not for loyalty, and it's not for backstabbery. It comes down that we have this arc where her family is taken and owes a debt mm-hmm. of some kind, and it's to save her mother and sister.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's not for nothing. But then we also see that she is still, now she's more heavily working with him because she stays with Gwen and is like, you can trust me. No, you can't. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Gwen's character kind of felt that because of the way she responded. There was something, there was some tension. Gwen is a very aware and clever character, which a lot of people don't give her credit for. They see her as this bratty girl, especially in the beginning, but we've seen her come into her own this mm-hmm. with this episode with the queen moment. Her soliloquy was amazing, even though it was short-lived. The concept is we see a lot of setup for next season, which we're hoping we all get. We all mm-hmm. are hoping we get more storyline. We want to know the dragman who we found out and stuff. But Gwen's come into her own. She's now this powerful person, at least on the outside. But I still see some doubt and sense some doubt on the inside.
Like self-doubt?
Self-doubt. There is a part of her where when the ambassador makes the comment that governments rise and fall and the only reason that you're in power is simply because your family conquered it from the mm-hmm. conqueror mm-hmm. before. There was some truth in that. And there's always some truth in the best villains. There's a truth to what they speak. There's a truth to their passion. And there's a truth to their philosophy. And while we look at the ambassador who's clearly the villain, there is some truth to what he says. And I felt that Gwen felt it and understood that. Yes, I'm good. We've been here for seven generations. But mm-hmm. the only way you become king, there's two ways. Mm-hmm. Number one is you're born the son of a king. But the prime one is you stand up and you declare your kingdom.
I believe it was her, like, a few episodes back where she said, I was born into this. I had no control over who
it was.
My family was. So yeah. She's well aware of it. So I think that's why it probably hits closer to home for her, is because she knows that this was, like, the birth lottery. You know, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was, which I wish I was born into. You know? I think about that every day. Like every time I give my dad a Father's Day card, I'm like, yeah, but you're not King Harry, you know? You're not Prince Charles. If that was who I was going to be, it'd be a great card. It'd be a pop-up. It might have a music tone.
Another standout, well, not standout necessarily, but another big reveal that we got was the identity of the drugman.
The drugman.
Which you were saying, Jessica, that's how it's actually pronounced?
It is. I found out a little bit too late that that's how it's actually pronounced. So to me, it's the dragman.
But it's all right. But then it's actually like, in terms of the show, it's all right for us to say dragman because we're just interpreting it from text. Mm-hmm. Whereas the drugman actually knew what she was, and so she is basically telling us how to say it, really.
Interesting.
But for us to be saying dragman is all right because we're reading it from text.
Well, it plays better anyway. Drugman sounds like a drug dealer. And it's actually, when I heard it was drugman, I was like, wait, what?
It's like drug.
I feel like you have drug. To think about it too drugman. Much. Drug. Like, drugman.
The drug.
Drugman.
Yeah.
Drugman.
Drugman.
Dragman just rolls off the tongue. Yeah. But yeah, we found out it was the little girl, which all season we were just like, who's this little girl? Who is she? And now we know, which even last
episode...
Well,
we still don't know. We don't know where she came from, why she's a drugman, why
But that's
she
not
has
necessarily
this...
a bad thing, is it?
No, I mean,
we
not if we get a season two.
They didn't say the drugman will find you and kill you. They just said the drugman will find
no,
you.
No, I don't think it's an evil thing. I just don't think we know that much about
Maybe
this particular character.
She starts, at the end, sister. She starts writing down the names. She can, you know, decipher the voices.
Mm-hmm. From the vexicon.
From the vexicon. Now, since this was the season one finale, I assume that neither of you have heard possibly about anything for a potential season two, even though clearly the show, it can still go with the kind of cliffhangers it left
us. Have something to announce.
Oh.
I have no idea.
That would have been amazing right now.
Do you know something I don't?
I know something.
I don't have anything to announce. I'm
so
sorry.
Put it out into the universe.
You've just been all night. It's just been like dying. I know something you don't know. Like,
no. I don't know.
I don't know.
We do not know yet.
We'll have to see.
We're hopeful.
We're very hopeful. Yeah. We just don't know yet.
Yes, and the fans are obviously very hopeful. Yeah. Actually, we took to Twitter tonight to ask the fans kind of what has been their favorite moment from this season. And we did get a few responses. So, Mina, if you would like to share some of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of similar responses. A lot of people are saying...
That's my mom.
the time that Gwen barged in on Talon and Garrett fight flirting.
I believe that was a ghost plagueling.
Yeah, that was actually said multiple times. Yeah. I really love all the moments of the outpost in the same way, but if I had to choose a favorite moment, it's the Garrett sparring moment. I love this so much.
Who sent that one in?
Angelique.
Angelique, hashtag renew the outpost.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey.
When Garrett is infected and asks Talon to kill him when he turns.
That's my favorite too.
Yeah. not because this is a moment I've never seen before on TV, but because it was so crucial for these characters, a moment of vulnerability between warriors, a powerful current of feelings beneath a soldier's resolve. Thank you so much, Becca Lee Gardner.
Who's obviously a writer.
Right? Do you want a writing job? What is this?
A poem? Yes. A disciple of Shakespeare? That was amazing.
Stacey Bond, a.k.a. Dragonfly5874.
Wait, Stacey Bond is great. Stacey Bond, if Stacey Bond is watching, she's a very loyal fan, and she's always tweeting, always Instagramming and stuff, so... Shout out to Stacey.
That one sounds like it might be your mom. Stacey Bond, the way you gave the shout out.
Bye, Mom.
So Stacey says, this is a tough one. There are so many amazing moments in this season. I'll have to think on this one.
Hashtag the outpost. Hashtag I love Janzo the most. Okay, she didn't add this, but she's going to rewrite.
She will.
Before we go, I really want to get into a question that's been looming all season. There is, usually we see an arc where it's a love triangle. Two guys fight over the same girl. In this one, I actually see a love box. And I see that there's some type of attraction between Gwen and Talon that exists. Mm. There's obviously one that's between Talon and Garrett. There's one with Janzo and Talon. And it goes all the way around. How would you feel that your character, if you had to make the call, would that play out? Is there something between Talon and Gwen?
Ooh, first. We talked about this.
Sure.
I think it would be interesting to see.
It would be interesting, and it would be unlike the CW to make that play, because CW is very, very woke and very aware and allows for a lot of these things, which I personally am very thankful for, that there's a platform in this situation. And what about a chance for Janzo and Talon?
I mean, I would like to see it. Honestly, if we go season two, I don't know, maybe Garrett gets kicked to the curb and...
Well... He seems pretty caught up in Gwen at the moment, so...
So you think.
But it is a so we think, because we do see a considerable amount of tension between Talon and Garrett. Mm-hmm. And that's one that's been playing out. And there was even the time where Talon feels almost let down by the fact that Garrett uses the guise of, it was an order, I'm here to protect you because of what you mean to the Empire, and not simply coming out and saying it's because of what you mean to me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
How does Talon's character feel about this?
I mean, I feel she definitely gets frustrated.
Oh, we saw that.
Yeah, I think she likes it. I guess she kind of... Throughout the season, I guess it's been a little bit of a game. Like, she kind of knows that she shouldn't go there because she is friends with Gwen, you know? And, but, yeah, that tension is there and the chemistry is there. And, I mean, we've almost seen it happen a few times, but it's been interrupted. And, I don't know. I think...
As far as Janzo and Gwen... Janzo and Talon...
Could happen too.
I don't see a natural attraction from Talon towards Janzo, but you know those types of relationships that form from persistence and from like.
He's just going to keep grinding, chiseling down.
And when she actually sees that, wait, this guy is actually a great guy. He doesn't do all the douchey things to her that say like Garrett or else others are doing, or maybe like Janzo also looks at Talon. Not how other guys look at Talon as well, you know? Like, he has a genuine respect and loyalty for her. I think if that was to play out, that's how it would play out, out of a, like, it's almost like she's come around to it, and that she's a realization of, like, maybe she doesn't need the guy and the horse.
And we should be very careful to explain there's a difference between persistence and insistence, and that's what happens, unfortunately, in a lot of times. But there is a mutual respect. Mm-hmm. Have either one of you actually been in a situation like this?
No.
No.
Oh.
Okay. Also, really quick, is there anything more than just physical attraction from Talon towards Garrett? Is there something more in terms of, like a deeper attraction than just the surface-level chemistry that we see play out?
Yeah, I think she definitely sees something in him, and she sees, you know, I guess, he's got that charm, and he's loyal, and...
Is that Jake, or is that Garrett?
Jake is very charming.
I mean...
Jake is
Garrett, literally, in real life. But no, I think she definitely does see something beyond the looks in him, and... Yeah.
Hopefully we find out in season two.
Mm. Hopefully in a season two. We are running a little short on time, so very quickly from our panel, I would just like to hear kind of our final thoughts on the season as a whole, and as well from you, Jessica, Anne, and Nod. Yeah. So very quickly, our final thoughts on this season.
I'd just like to say, yeah, in the very beginning, I wasn't on board, just kind of be super honest. Mm-hmm. And then as the episodes progressed, I was like, let me give this a chance. Like, a lot of times when it's a first season, you never know. And it kept going on and on, and I was like, wow, I actually really like this. The acting is getting way better. The storyline is getting way better. I just felt, like, invested in the characters at a certain point. I can't remember if it was episode 4, episode 5. It was, like, one of those episodes where I was, like, totally on board from that point moving forward. So I just want to say congrats on an amazing season and that progression with your character arcs, with the acting, with everything included. This was so much fun for us to watch. And especially tonight, just having you guys come out and watching in the trailer was such a blast. Like, I've never had so much fun.
It's a very nice trailer. I would say that I was a fan from the get-go, and I know. In a lot of ways, I kudos to you all for winning me over. I'm a staunch critic. You're not the only staunch one in the room. And I became increasingly a fan and adored Talon, and I was always very, very impressed with the Janzo portrayal. I was very impressed with the Garrett portrayal as well, and I was a fan of Gwyn as a character, and then later as it was portrayed. The show overall has definitely won over myself as well as a grand audience of loyalists who are big fans of the show. And so thank you so much for bringing this to life, and each one of you did your personal best to bring each of these characters, though flawed at times, to life and gave them that chance, and myself as an audience, the chance to be won over, and you did. So congratulations.
Even if you get season two
and nothing else, at least you can sleep and go, the guy in the bathrobe liked us, and that's all that matters. Who needs an Emmy?
I think we can, us on here in this panel, could all agree that this show has done a great job at progressing, and we have been able to see it grow, especially from where it started to where it is now. So again, congrats to you. Just very quickly, Jessica and Anand, kind of your final thoughts on this project.
I mean, I had an absolute blast filming, and getting to meet all the cast and crew. And, you know, we've formed such, like, amazing friendships outside of work. You know, I see this one, like, once or twice a week almost. Yeah, it was an amazing experience for me. I learnt so much throughout filming, you know, and I mean, fingers crossed we get a season two, but if not, you know, I'll walk away being happy with what we made. And yeah, it definitely, you know, I definitely agree with you, you know, how much it grew throughout the season and how much, you know, more action-packed and better it got, you know, and the character arcs and the stories and the relationships that form. So, yeah, no, it was good.
This has been really important to me, the show. I love character work. I love getting absolutely lost into a character, and I feel like that's what I did. And I've really enjoyed playing Janzo so far. But the show, I had fun, you know. We got to travel. We got to go to, like, the desert and the mountains. We got to go to, like, snowy places as well, and who knows what's going to happen if we go on. But that's what I love. I love to, like, experience new places. We were in the middle of Utah, you know, predominantly Mormon, predominantly Republican. It was a new experience. A lot of gun owners, things like that. Like that.
I'd never been in snow before, and it was minus 10.
She'd never been in snow before. But that was freezing. That was new to me, you know? Like, when else am I going to spend 4 months in that sort of area, you know? I probably won't, but I really appreciated being there. I appreciated understanding and seeing this new way of life that I usually wouldn't, because actors don't necessarily live in middle America, you know? So that was interesting to me. It was interesting for me to meet all of these folks that I know that, and I know everyone says it, but I know that we are going to stay in touch. I know I am. Even with our crew in Utah, I know that we're going to stay in touch. I've really enjoyed my time.
That's great. Some great things were said. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for tonight. Taran Mina, where can the fans find you on social media?
At I am Taran all across the board. IamTeHran. And Mondays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. at the Laugh Factory.
Hey, everyone. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, across social media, at Mina Makes Magic.
I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica underscore V. Jessica?
You can find me on Instagram, Jessica Green.
And I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all AnandDB, A-N-A-N-D-D-B.
I just want to say, again, a very special thank you to you, Jessica and Anand, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for
we
having
had a
us.
Blast. Yeah, thank you so much for having
you.
Us, guys.
We had a blast talking with you. And to the Outpost fans, thank you so much for watching and discussing along with us all season. We really appreciate all of it. So again, yeah, thank you.
See you next season.
See you guys.
See you next season.
See you next season.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.